Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Wednesday, October the 14th, 2020, 20 minutes past the hour. A little bit of a late start this morning, but that's the way it goes. We've got a great show for you over the next two live solid hours here on WWGH Radio. I'll be on this morning through 10 o'clock with our guest, and then from 10 to 12 today, Glenn Coble will be in, and we'll do, I think the show now is on the air from 10 to 12, but some people like to call it Scott and Glenn live at 10. You know, that's okay. But on the air, I think, is what we'll stick with. And A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today, 12 to 1 p.m. Then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4 to 5. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from this past Sunday airs tonight from 6:10 until 7 p.m. And all kinds of good programming in between all of that. Remember, you can hear us live online, WWGH1071.com, archives of shows dating back to January 2016. And if you would like to download the free TuneIn app, you can listen anywhere in the world, Zimbabwe, England, France, wherever you are. It's the free TuneIn app in your app store and search WWGH. Now, before we get to our guest today, I do want to mention this. See, here's the thing. The amazing Kreskin, legendary mentalist, has been on this program time after time after time, and we love having him on. Now, the amazing Kreskin is famous for a lot of things. He's been on Johnny Carson, David Letterman, Jimmy Fallon, all kinds of shows. Now, the amazing Kreskin predicts presidential elections. Now, as of October the 6th, I think that was Tuesday, at 3:33 p.m., he made a prediction on the presidential election, which came in the mail last night for me in this envelope. Now, he's never been wrong. Now, the contents of this envelope apparently contain who will win the presidential election on November the 3rd, and I have got to believe that this is probably correct. But here's the deal in sending me this letter, which only, I think, went to four people in the world. I cannot open this letter until the election's over and Kreskin is on the air with me, which he probably will be a couple days after the election. So the letter's here right in front of me, and I can't open it. Now, do you know the danger, the anxiety, the sheer want to do this that I have right now? This will be a mental block for me until November the 3rd. Well, till November 4th, 5th, whenever Kreskin's on. I cannot open this until he's on the air with me after the election to prove that he is right. So, the envelope sitting right in front of me, I could open it right now. I won't, because I gave my word. But let me just tell you, it's going to cause a lot of trauma between now and November the 3rd that I have the winner of the presidential election sitting right in front of me. So stay tuned for that drama as we go along over the next, 20 days from today, I believe, is the presidential election. Okay. All that being said, now that the morning monologue is over, we're going to do something unique today. Because it is a presidential election, and a lot of local offices, a lot of state offices, we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's a very unique year. But what is also unique about this year is since 2016, a lot of people have gained the right to vote. Now, we're not talking about felons. We're talking about people who just were not old enough to vote in 2016. So this will be the first election presidential that they are able to vote in. So we have invited two of those people who that explanation covers today to join us for 2 hours. Now, the first hour, we're going to do all the politics. We're going to do all the Supreme Court. We're going to do all the pandemic. We're going to do the heavy stuff. And then the second hour, we're just going to do fun stuff, fun topics. So that's how it's going to roll this morning. And my guest this morning in studio, now one has been here before, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Gavin Richards, and Taylor Myers has been on this show before with a British accent many, many, many months ago, but she's back with us this morning. These are two first-time voters this year, and that's interesting of itself because, well, for reasons we'll find out over the next 2 hours. So we welcome to these microphones Gavin and Taylor. Gavin, Taylor, how are you?
Were you going to go first? I was going to let her go first, considering.
No, I'm nervous.
No, now you're on. Now you've heard my little monologue for 5 minutes. Now you're on.
Yeah. How you feeling over there, pal?
Well, I'm a little tired. This is probably the earliest I've gotten up for a while.
But the excitement of this show now is just at a fever pitch, right?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. That's all you have to... And you'll be a regular listener to this show now.
Of course. Right. I did have the TuneIn app, but I don't think I have it anymore.
You erased the TuneIn app?
I don't know if I erased it, but, I mean, it's not there anymore, so...
But after today...
After today, it's re-downloaded.
And never...
Never deleted.
To leave again. You didn't know
he
there was a TuneIn app?
Talking about it in the morning monologue.
Yeah, but did you hear the morning monologue there?
Are you even paying attention?
You guys are coming at me really hard
right
now.
You didn't block out there during the morning monologue, did you?
No.
Do you understand I've got the presidential results right over here in front of me?
Those are some dangerous notes.
I was thinking about that. So you said you're not allowed to open it until after the election.
Oh, you
want
to?
I was wondering if I could.
See, I think that might be breaking of the rules. I'm not sure. I don't want Chris getting angry at me. You know, he might put a hex on me or something. I don't need that.
I was also thinking, I know he's never been wrong, but what if this is the year that he's wrong? How crazy would that be?
Well, it could be. But I tend at this point and would believe through November the 3rd that he would not be wrong because he has such a stellar record. So if I did look, which I'm not going to, by the way, how would any... See, here's the thing about this. How would anybody know if I really looked? If I came on here and lied...
Is the letter, like, open?
No, it's sealed.
So then they would know if you opened it because it wouldn't be sealed anymore.
But I'm not going to show anybody.
Well, you can he'll steam be in the, here to see you open
it. You can steam that open. And then just seal it right back.
Oh, well, I'm not smart enough for that.
Well, I'm not going to do it because I promised I would not do it. And you know what? I feel in a way that that would be kind of espionage. You know, I really would feel bad that I would be one of the few people in America who would know who's going to win the presidential election. I feel it would taint me for the next 20 days.
Yeah, when you were talking about it, I thought you were going to open it, and I was like, wait, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah, isn't it? This is a big deal we've got coming up here in 20 days.
What an election to be wrong about, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah. Let's start here, because I think this hour is going to go by fast, because we got we got three big subjects to cover here, and I don't want these to spill over into hour number two. So let's start with this. First-time voters, so you're in the... 18 to 22, I think 18 to 22-year-olds, this would be their first election that they would be able to vote in. So this is the first time you've been able to vote. What does that mean to you, to be able to vote for the first time?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it that much, but I feel like it's kind of scary. Not really scary, but it's just like, it's my first time voting, and it's such an important like election. And I know that there's so many people that have said that they're not going to vote. And I just feel like if I didn't vote, I would be, like, wasting, like, my vote. Because I know in the 2016 election, there were so many people that didn't vote because they thought that they had it in the bag and that Hillary was going to win. So they just didn't vote. And then Donald Trump ended up winning. So I feel like for all the people that are saying they're not going to vote this year, it's kind of the same situation.
It's an interesting take. So you feel it's your obligation to vote.
Yeah.
Because every vote does count.
Yes.
And it does. There's some confusion on that people have with the Electoral College, and that my vote doesn't count. But the popular vote in the state determines the Electoral College, so of course your vote counts. Mm-hmm. I don't think people understand that for some reason. So, Gavin, what's your take on voting for the first time?
I
know a little bit of this, so let's get it out there in the open.
I am completely the opposite of that. I'm sort of, I just don't think it very it matters very much.
How you vote.
How I vote, who you vote for. I mean, they're all rich and they're all corrupted.
And they're all old men.
And they're all old men.
Now, see, do you really believe that, though? That
they're all corrupt. Because I hear that a lot, that all politicians are corrupt. But, I mean, is that okay to blanket that many people and say they're all corrupt?
I mean, they're definitely not all corrupt. There's definitely people out there trying to do the good thing, but the people with the most money get the most ads, get the most publicity from everything that they do because they have the money to do it.
What makes these two particular men, President Trump and Vice President Biden, in your opinion, corrupt?
Oh, God.
Now watch it. It is radio.
Yes. Trump has run a business for a long time. That kind of mindset gets you in the sort of way, very egotistical, you know. I just don't think he's a business. He's definitely a business runner. He's not, you know, a country runner. I don't really know much about Biden because I don't keep on the politics because, like I said before, I don't, you know, follow that sort of thing. But I don't really know.
Well, and it's interesting, and no knock on that, because a lot of people don't live and die politics. I certainly don't live and die politics. But we do make that statement, and yet we really have no reasoning for why Biden's corrupt. We just, well, all politicians have to be corrupt.
Right.
But we don't know that.
No, I don't, and I don't think anybody who does say that actually does know that, even myself. I just kind of, because I don't care that much about it, I'm like, I don't feel like voting, so, you know.
So you're not going to vote?
I was planning on not voting, but now, I'm not 100% sure on that yet.
Have you registered?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're registered. You could.
Yeah, I definitely could.
So why not at this point? You're registered. You can. Why not?
I just don't like who they have picked out for either side. I mean,
but there are other things on the ballot. There'll be local things. There'll be statewide things.
And those are actually things I am comfortable with voting for. Things that, you know, can actually change around me, not just, you know, who's sitting in the White House.
Well, let's start here. We're going to start at the top. Since you may vote,
mm-hmm.
what would swing it for you one way or another in the next 20 days?
I'm not really either way about it currently, so I couldn't tell you.
You don't know. Something just will happen in the next 20 days, and you'll either decide to go do it or not.
Right, and it's just the thing, I can't really imagine that something would sway me, because, you know, nothing like that's really happened for me, considering it's my first time to vote, so I don't have really paid attention up until now.
So this, at this point, 20 days away, are you leaning for voting or not voting?
I'm leaning for voting currently.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go. So, and again, you don't have to answer this question, but for president, if you had to vote today, and things can happen between now and November the 3rd, who would you vote for?
Biden.
Now, why?
Because if he dies in office as vice president, could he become president?
So you like Kamala Harris?
I like her. She seems like an okay person.
So out of the four... Because both Trump and Biden are rather old.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's 74 and Biden will be 78.
Yeah.
So you're more comfortable with Kamala Harris than Pence.
Oh, for sure.
So that's what would swing it, the vice president.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is what would swing it for me.
Because a lot of people say the vice president doesn't matter, but in your particular case... That's the whole thing.
She matters when the dude's 78 years old.
78 years old. I think it does matter.
Oldest president record here?
He would be the oldest president on record. He certainly would. All right, Taylor. Who are you going to vote for presidential-wise?
Biden, for sure.
Now, how did you get to Biden?
Well, for me, like, the main thing is that being a woman and listening to everything that Donald Trump says about women and, like, other minorities. Like, I know Biden isn't a great person either, but... Donald Trump is so open about being disrespectful towards women, and I think that's, like, the main thing for me, because, like, I don't understand, like, how, as a woman, you could vote for someone who blatantly doesn't respect you.
Okay. Now, put this in the back of your mind that we're on radio here.
Mm-hmm.
What is the thing that he has said or the inference that he has said that has most turned you in that direction, that he's not for women?
Well, there's a couple, especially him talking about his daughter the way he does. That is doesn't sit right with me, because he always is talking about how if he wasn't her father, he would be dating her. Which, that is just really weird to me, first of all, because it's your daughter, and you're saying that, like, on national television multiple times. And just, like, the way that he, like, speaks, like, about other women, like, he's just really rude, and he, like, judges them by their looks and, like, doesn't have any remorse about it. And there's, like, one specific thing, but I can't say it on the radio.
Well, give me a, just bleep if there's a word in it that is okay. Inappropriate.
I don't remember who he said it about. I don't know. I think he was just talking about, like, women in general, like, going up to them and just grabbing them by the bleep.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's a famous quote. We yep. certainly all know what we're talking about there.
Yeah.
Now, that happened, though, before the last election.
Yeah.
And he was still elected after saying that. So, being a non-voter at that time, watching that, what'd you make of that?
See, that was, like, one of my main things last time of, like, why I didn't really like Trump, because of everything that he just says so publicly, and like he doesn't feel bad about it, and he doesn't want to take it back or anything. Like, I just feel like someone like that should not be able to be in charge of everyone if you're just going to not respect the people that you're in charge of.
Now, do you find it shocking? Because there are women listening to this program who I know vote for Trump, who I know are... But this is an interesting thing, and I'm not saying this is a blanket statement for everybody, but knowing what he has said, I'm going to say ages 40 to 100 who will vote for him, knowing that he said those things, just say, well, that's him. That's him.
What I think about that is that it hasn't really been a thing until recently that women have started sticking up for themselves and, like, not letting men, like, say things about them. And I think that I'm not trying to, like, say, like, talk bad about, like, generations before mine, but I think that it was very, like, uncommon for a woman to, like, speak up for herself when a man was, like, saying rude things to them or being disrespectful to them. They just kind of sat back and took it because they couldn't really say anything about it. But now everyone is becoming more open about what is being disrespectful and what is wrong and what is right, and they're not taking it.
Well, this is interesting because we are going to have this election 4 years of young voters who did not vote in 2016. Now, do you think that's going to favor overall Biden or Trump?
Biden, because all the young people I know, except for a few, hate Trump.
Young people.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Gavin, what's your feeling on... Are women's issues important? Because these are two men. That's why we're out. If it was two women, we'd ask about male issues. But as a male, are the women's issues important? That's Taylor's number one reason here.
Absolutely. I mean, statistically speaking, it's over half the population that you have to, you know, make sure you're not making angry. And that's what he's doing with those kind of remarks. And, I mean, that's just not smart for him. It's not good morally to say things like that. That's ridiculous.
Do you think there'll be a large turnout of younger voters to try to rebuke and get rid of Donald Trump? That's why they are showing up. That's why they registered
right.
to get rid of him.
Absolutely. I think because we didn't have any power over if he was elected in the first place or not, definitely is going to sway people's... decisions, because they just want him out because they couldn't take him, they couldn't prevent him from getting in his first election.
Now, if you vote for Biden, how did you get there?
How did I get there?
Yeah,
because of the vice president.
Right. But is there any issue at all that he has that is appealing to you, Biden over Trump?
Is there any issue of what?
Any issue is, does, you know, in 92 when Bill Clinton won, the slogan was, it's the economy, stupid. George W. Bush was letting you play with your Social Security money. Barack Obama was national health care. Is there anything in this election that is an issue that's important?
Definitely better pandemic response. That's definitely a big one that I think I'd like to see happen, certainly after the election is over.
Well, this is a whole nother subject, so let's get into this. COVID-19 certainly has been the story here in 2020. And started in March, and we're still dealing with it, and most likely are going to deal with it through the end of the year. What have you made of this year, Taylor?
Definitely was not what I was expecting coming into it. Well, back in March, everybody knows, but everything kind of shut down. And me, I was away at college on spring break when everything happened. And what I knew was that spring break was being extended for 2 weeks. And the next thing I knew, 2 weeks turned into like 6 months.
It did. And here we are, and most likely going to deal with it through the end of this year and probably the first half of 2021.
At least.
Now, how the president... Because Biden's not in office right now. He has no control over this. Not that he would have controlled it better, but he's not in control of it right now. Trying to be fair there. How has the president handled this in your eyes?
In my eyes, I think he's done a pretty terrible job. Because, like in the vice presidential debate, was it last week?
Last week, yep.
Kamala Harris was saying that Trump and Pence knew about the severity of this virus in January, like the end of January, and they didn't do anything about it until March when everything kind of shut down. And I think that Trump's main focus is obviously the economy, and I think that he thinks about the economy way too much, and it overtakes the lives of the people that he's supposed to be protecting. And so I think his worry about the economy was what made him so slow to act.
Over 210,000 people dead in America. Mm-hmm. I believe we've had more deaths percentage-wise than any other country except Brazil.
Yeah.
And other countries have had this.
Yeah.
Why the United States, the most civilized country, I think we would say, in the world, have we not been able to certainly extinguish this, but even handle it to a degree to where we don't have, well, like I said, aside from Brazil, more deaths than anybody?
I think most of the country is just listening to what the president says because they don't know any better. And I think that if a lot of people, if you're not affected personally or you don't know someone affected personally, you don't really know the severity of what the virus can do. And if you're not having anyone in your life sort of maybe get sick or die from it, then you don't really know what it can do. And since you're not seeing it, you're like, oh, it's not that bad, I don't really need to wear a mask, I don't need to do this, I don't need to do that. But the thing is, you're not, just because it's not bad for you doesn't mean it's not bad for someone else. And wearing a mask isn't, maybe you don't like it, it's uncomfortable for you, but think about the people that are breathing through ventilators right now that could have probably not gotten it had you worn a mask.
Now, Gavin, what did you feel about the president's response to the pandemic?
Poor. It was very poor. To the conversation about, people affected, it's just everyone's hearing different things from several different sources about this virus that's, we've never seen before. And they always talk about bringing in experts when, this virus doesn't have an expert. It's more they bring in, specialists on diseases. And people just believe what they want to believe because that's just, how it is now, I guess. And they just, like she said, it's definitely a problem. Maybe not for you, but definitely for somebody else. It's ridiculous.
Now, we're in the middle of apparently an uptick now. And in Marion County, we're back into red. We were in yellow for a while. Across the country, we're in the middle of an uptick. Why? 7 months in, why have we not learned the lesson of this?
I feel like it's because people think that we've dealt with this long enough. It's going to go back to the way it was because this is America and that's how it works. Everything's good. Everything's been good since the 60s. You know, until 9/11, everything was solid. I guess they just think that it's just going to go back to how it was, when we definitely know for sure it's not going to be back until at least the middle part of 2021.
Not the president. Let's divorce ourselves from that. Let's divorce ourselves from government altogether for this COVID part of the conversation. What do you make of the two narratives that have been around for quite some time now, that on November 4th, the day after the election, this will all be gone, and that it's just a hoax in general? It's all phony baloney.
I don't know how you can say it's a hoax or it'll just all disappear the day after the election, when literally 210,000 plus people have died just in our country. Like, that's, if it was a hoax, then it wouldn't be as severe as it has been. And it also has affected the whole entire world and not just America. So I don't know why, if they were trying to rig the election, they would make the whole world die.
Well, I mean, but that's it. You will have people tell you it's a hoax. You will have people tell you, sensible people. And this is the thing of it. I have had people who I consider to be intelligent, people in good jobs, people who keep up with current events, say that on November 4th, this will be gone.
That just doesn't seem right to me. Like she said, over 210,000 people are dying from something. It doesn't even have to be COVID. It's just they're definitely dying from something. So call it a hoax, call it whatever you want. There's still lives being lost to something that, if you think is a hoax, then it's just dying to nothing. And if you don't care enough to, like, actually, you know, look through what is actually killing people, then just stay inside. Like, if you don't want to protect yourself and protect others, it's not okay.
Well, it's an interesting thing, and how do you think this will change us? Because there's a lot of conversation right now about people who have to work at home now because of this. Will they ever go back to the offices when this is over? Will people get the vaccine when it comes out? It's changed the way a lot of learning is done. Is it going to stay this way even when the pandemic is over, or will we eventually ease ourselves back into regular life?
I feel like I don't know if it'll get, like, fully regular again after this, but I think that it'll get as close to it as it can probably eventually, because what I'm hearing every day is everyone is tired of this and everyone wants things to go back to normal. So I feel like even if it doesn't fully go back to normal, like, people are going to do whatever they can to get normal, per se.
Do you think we'll get to normal, Gavin?
I definitely think that it will change the way we do some things. For instance, cleaning. I think personal hygiene and, like, cleaning will definitely be stepped up more in businesses, for sure. They'll definitely take the time to clean things more because we've had an outbreak to this magnitude. You know, we would ease ourselves back to sort of pseudo normal, basically would just hire, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, now I'm going to report this because we were getting calls last night, and we're not worried about being fast or first, but we're worried about being correct. So this is the story as we have it this morning. Now, as many of you know, we've been covering the River Valley football team this year because, well, maybe you know already what I'm about to say. Have you heard this?
No.
Okay, here we go. And this is, you know what, this is not a news report, but this is the way it is. So we've been covering this because one of our good friends here at the station, who's been on with me many times, Abby Croman, has a son who plays for River Valley's football team. Luke Rogers, who last week, by the way, broke the school record for scoring the most touchdowns in one game. That's six touchdowns in one game. Yeah, very cool. But as of yesterday, I believe it was, here is the story on the River Valley football team as it relates to COVID. So, as of now, I don't know if any official announcement has been made. River Valley won their game last week, their playoff game. Chances are they're not going to be playing this Friday night, as of this morning, because the entire team is quarantining today because of COVID-19, and they are trying to do contact tracing on the football team.
Wow.
So chances are the season is over for River Valley.
Probably.
Even though they would play this Friday. But because of an outbreak of COVID, it looks like it's over. Now, also, I'm learning that River Valley has probably 60 to 70 kids home today quarantining.
Wow.
From the school. So that's what you would call an outbreak, a cluster outbreak. And this is today, and we're getting this knowledge. You know, I don't want to say who's giving it to us because that's, you know, it's not from the school, but it's public knowledge. It has been sent out, and you heard it here first. So there you go.
Wow.
Breaking news, just like CNN.
You weren't worried about being first, but here we are.
We ended up being first because we got good contacts.
Yeah.
So I knew about this last night, but I didn't want to come on with it this morning because I didn't want to, you know, panic people or panic the River Valley people. But there you go. 60 to 70 kids at River Valley School quarantining today because of an outbreak of COVID-19. And chances are, I don't know if it's publicly been canceled or not, but it looks like the football season for River Valley is over because of COVID-19. So there you go.
Wow.
How has the pandemic changed your life? Well,
yeah,
there you go.
For sure.
Right off the heels of a record-breaking game.
I know. They have a, I'm not to talk bad or anything, but River Valley's football team hasn't really done that great in a while.
Well, and I don't have the exact numbers on this, but apparently 50-plus of those quarantining people are football players.
Wow.
50-plus.
We can say that we're graduates.
Well, yeah. You know, it's too bad because they beat Pleasant this year.
That's good.
They beat Harding this year.
That's good.
They've only lost two games. They won their first playoff game last week. They have broken the school record. Luke Rogers has broken the school record. Most touchdowns in one game.
I think the last time we went to the playoffs was when I was in, like, seventh grade.
Yeah, but now you're taken out because of COVID. And
yeah.
I'm sure, listen, an educated guess is if you've got 70 kids in the school out quarantining today, 50 of them are on the football team, the game's Friday night, it's not happening.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh. Especially because you have to be quarantined for at least 10 days.
Well, here's, and we don't know what the actual number of positive cases are because people are quarantined. It takes a minute to get the test results back. So that's a lot of people. And if these do come back, let's say half of them come back positive.
That's a lot of positive
That's
cases.
A lot of positive many, cases in one school.
How many people have they been in contact with since then?
And the other sports are playing too. So like soccer, I know that they're still playing. And that's a pretty contact sport.
Well, I don't know what happened. Obviously, somebody contracted it, clearly. Yeah. Well, one person did. And I think this, again, makes us understand that this is highly contagious. And I don't know if people are understanding that.
For sure not. I know a lot of people don't really understand how contagious it is. And I think a lot, since like some people are asymptomatic, I think that's another reason that people think that this could be a hoax, because they're like, how can you have it if you're not showing any symptoms, but then you're still giving it to other people? And it's like, we don't really know how this virus works yet fully because it's new to everybody. So, like, I don't understand how you know nothing about something, but you're saying that it's a hoax just because some people aren't having symptoms of it.
Well, it's sad to me because here you are having a good season.
Yeah,
you know,
for
here
sure.
you are.
Yeah, that is really sad.
And also, River Valley was the first school to go back to 4 days a week and 1 day of online learning. And it's my understanding, as of yesterday, I forget how this was all worked out, but as of yesterday, Elgin and Ridgedale, I believe, have also decided to do this, but I don't think it takes effect till next week. Well,
Maybe it won't.
Maybe it won't at this particular point. But I feel bad for all the River Valley football kids. I feel bad for the River Valley kids
really
in general.
Too.
Me as well.
And Luke, and who I know personally because he was in here as a guest, and all the other teammates, you know, sorry. But that's where we are in this world.
Yeah,
pandemic world.
Expect the unexpected.
But you got the record. At least you got that done.
That's true.
Right.
At least you got that done before the season ended. Before we still got some time left in this hour, but I wanted to talk to you guys about the Supreme Court because this is the biggest story going on right now, and I doubt you're all that into the Supreme Court. But the way this is all going on, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, and she was obviously a liberal justice, and now we're trying to get a conservative justice in before the election to sway that. What do you think about that?
I think that since it's this close to the election, that they shouldn't, like, appoint another judge until after the election, because Trump very well could be at the end of his term. We obviously don't know until the election's over, but I think that it's not fair to appoint another judge this close to the election, because if Biden were to win, then I feel like he should be the one to appoint a new judge.
But probably not going to be that way.
Probably not, but
probably
I
not
just feel like
that
that's how it should be for
but,
me.
So is this something that brings anger in you that it's being done this way?
Well, see, I've never really been, like, that knowledgeable of the Supreme Court, but, like, once, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, like, I've, like, learned a little bit more. Like, I watched a documentary about her life, like, last week, I think, and I just think that she has done so much for so many people being on the Supreme Court, and I feel like because she was, like, so liberal, and if they're trying to appoint a Republican judge, I think that it very well could be that a lot of things that she has done are for nothing.
Well, this all comes down to the Affordable Care Act and abortion. That's what this is about. Are those issues at all important to you at this age?
I have very strong feelings about abortion.
Well, go ahead and give them.
Well, I am very much pro-choice, and I could go on about abortion. I wrote, like, a research paper for school last year about abortion, but I am very, like, very much pro-choice, and I think that people that are pro-life have a lot of holes in their arguments because most of them, like, the main argument for pro-life is that it's murder, and the thing that I would like to say to that is, if you're so worried about children that aren't even born yet, why not be worried about all of the children that are stuck in foster care for their whole childhoods that probably will not get adopted, all of the children in ICE that are being, like, taken away from their parents? What about all these children that are already living that are not, like, I don't know, I just think pro-life has a lot of holes.
Gavin, as a male, does the Affordable Care Act, does abortion mean anything to you?
I just like to stay away from those kind of things. I'm not really educated on it enough to have an opinion about it. Do what you want to do with what you have. If it's your kid, do whatever you want with it. It's your choice.
It's my understanding 1971, I believe, was Roe versus Wade, is when that was passed, long before your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it now, for the first time, is really under threat because of this, is that shocking, meaningful to you in any way?
I mean, I'm glad that it went as long as it did, but it's kind of scary now, like, as a woman, that could be, like, threatened, because, like, I'm not saying that I would, like, 100% get an abortion if I were to become pregnant, but I just feel like it's every woman's right to be able to choose what she does with her own body, and I think that a lot of the people that disagree are men, and they cannot get pregnant, so I feel like they should definitely not have a say on it, because this is an analogy that I like to use, because it kind of opened your eyes, because a man can have sexual relations with a different woman each day of the week, and each one of those women could get pregnant, and that's 7 different pregnancies. A woman can have sexual relations with a different man every single day of the week and only get pregnant once. And that's, she can only get pregnant once in that 9-month period, but a man, how many women could the one man get pregnant in 9 months?
Quite a few.
Yeah, so I feel like if men could get, like, if men could get pregnant, I think that their view would definitely be different. But yeah, I don't know. I just think women should have the right. Gavin just did the math 122. If
122 times.
Yeah.
I just did 30 times 4 plus 2.
But in a given year, really, a woman could get pregnant twice, but you could only have one baby per year.
Yeah. But how many babies could a man have in a year? A lot.
Yeah, exactly.
364.
But, you know, 364. That's exactly, well.
65 on a leap year.
Try paying that food bill.
Yeah, wow. For sure.
That's a little expensive, a little
and
on
how,
the expensive side.
How expensive is that compared to how expensive it is to get an abortion?
Well, but the argument is, it's murder. That's the argument.
I don't think it can be murder if they're not alive yet.
Well, that's been the long discussion. Does life start at conception, or does life start at birth?
See, I don't think it starts at conception, but I think it starts before birth. See, I think that, like, once there's, like, brain formation and, like, some of the, like, major parts of the body are being formed, then I think it's too late to have an abortion. But I think, like, they say that once the heartbeat starts, but that is literally like 18 days after conception, I think. And that is, a lot of women do not even know they're pregnant within that time. So I think for you to say that once the heartbeat starts and you can't get an abortion, that's taking the full right away, because how many times, how many women have been pregnant and they didn't know until like a month later? Because like, you don't just like, I know a lot of women, you don't just take a pregnancy test every week, but they count on their period for that. And I think that if you take away the, like, the heartbeat bill that was almost passed a couple years ago, I don't remember exactly what year it was, 2 years ago maybe, but.
Well, I just wonder, because in 1977, they did not have the morning after pill. So my curiosity in this is, if the Supreme Court does go the way it does, and Roe versus Wade is overturned, and abortion is made illegal, will everybody who's having some kind of unprotected relation just go get the morning after pill?
I just want to say, if the right to have an abortion gets taken away, it's still going to happen no matter what, but it just won't be safe, and there will be a lot of danger with that.
Well, that's what was happening before.
Yeah.
People were going to Puerto Rico. People were in alleys with coat hangers.
Yep.
It's not like it wasn't happening before 1971.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't legal.
Yeah, that's going to be the exact same thing.
Although, I don't know that people were ever arrested for it, because most people were dying while they were doing it.
That's the thing, is if it's not done safely, it can harm more than just, like, the baby. It can harm the woman. Yeah. It can harm the woman, too. And I feel like if it gets taken away, you're going to notice a lot more women that are dying or getting very sick or hurt.
We're coming up on a break here in about 2 minutes, and I want to go back, because to finish off the heavy stuff here, go back to the presidential election. People will say young kids, liberal college, they brainwash you there, and that's why you're voting for Biden.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. What do you think? What do you say to that?
Pretty much everyone in my life tells me not to get brainwashed at school, so I can relate to that for sure. But I think me being able to think for myself and being able to hear what's going on and, like, watch the news and watch the debates and be able to decide for myself, that's not me being brainwashed. Me being brainwashed is being told by everyone to not be brainwashed.
Interesting. Gavin, you're just a liberal kid. You're brainwashed. You're voting for those liberals, those progressives. That's why you're favoring Biden over Trump.
Totally. That's exactly why, you know, I'm definitely not anti-democracy or anything like that. That's ridiculous. But I'm not being brainwashed, considering up until basically a week ago, I just was like, I'm not voting, I don't care. Because I don't like any of them as people or as rulers, runners of the country, but, you know, they just don't fit.
Very quickly, with 60 seconds left here, and I'm sorry we don't have enough time to stay on this one because we're going to go to something else next hour with Taylor and Gavin, who are going to stick around here. But on that ballot, there are also going to be local things.
Right.
And we're going to have a sheriff election here in Marion that you both will vote in. There's going to be a clerk of courts. There's going to be county commissioners. Of those, which is the most important?
Yeah, honestly, I don't really know that much about local stuff.
Do you know any of those names in any of those elections?
Yeah, I know some names because I see signs everywhere.
Bells for sheriff?
Well, let's just do sheriff. Sheriff's the big one. It's the one that is most controversial right now. It's current sheriff Tim Bailey, the Democrat, and you have the Republican Matt Bales from the police department who's running against him. Who will you vote for?
Probably Tim Bailey because he's Democratic.
All party voter.
Yeah,
party
voter. I feel like I'll probably end up being like that. I feel like I don't really know that much about local stuff to be able to like specifically say, but I don't know. I just think that I'd probably stick to my party.
Bailey or Bales?
Don't have enough of an idea of any idea of who they are, so I'd have to research that first.
Research that one.
I'll definitely have to research before I actually do vote, but as of right now, that's my answer.
You're tuned into WWGH Radio. We're coming back with all kinds of topics. And by the way, we did just get a social media. We're going to talk about social media next hour, by the way. Social media post here. It's going to be fun. From somebody listening out there in listening land, Mary out there in listening land, very impressed with the young lady. She seems to have a great head on her shoulders.
Thank you.
So there you go, young lady.
I'm also here.
And the young man as well. Gavin Richards, Taylor Myers coming back for another hour. And next hour, we're going to tackle the heavy-duty subjects of social media, online bullying. Now, this will sound bad, but it's a new story in the USA Today yesterday. Work in bed. Think about this. And online schooling. We're coming back next hour with Taylor and Gavin. Don't you dare turn away.
Becky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
But?
Because you can... All the things in life as a human being...